Good morning. I'd like to greet everybody in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. Appreciate what Marcus just shared. Want to grow closer and closer to the Lord, and also appreciate Ken's devotions. That he was thinking along similar lines I was thinking about, of responsibility as parents, and he was mentioned more as a father, but has to do with the message I was thinking about this morning. Many of you know that we just recently had a PTA meeting for the school, and those of you that were there, you might remember a question that Brian Miller asked us all. He asked, if Jesus gave you a report card as parents, he was talking to us, what would it look like? So I've been thinking about that, and actually talked a little about this in Newport last Sunday. But, you know, as parents, we want our children to do well. We want them to grow, mature, and be Christ-like. But what about us, ourselves as parents, and also grandparents and young people that have been out of school for a while? Does our behavioral growth still matter? Or have we arrived once you graduate from school? You're done with that. I think we all would agree that we need to continue growing in our Christian life. But I also think we can often hold ourselves to a little bit lower standard than what we hold our children to. So this morning I'd like to look at that, challenge our thinking on that, just challenge us to take an honest look at our character as adults. I think sometimes we think, you know, yeah, well, school, you've got to have it a little bit extra strict, a little extra structured because you have all those children. But in real life, you know, things are a bit different. We have good excuses, good reasons why maybe we could be negative or disrespectful occasionally. But if we model the opposite of what we want our children to do, it's kind of silly to think that they won't copy us, or we shouldn't wonder when they fall short of our expectations if we're not modeling, giving them a good model, good example to follow. And we don't expect perfection from our children, and we shouldn't expect perfection from ourselves, but what we should expect is growth, maturity, and age-appropriate progress. That's what you look for in school. You don't expect a third grader to act like an eighth grader. And in our Christian life as adults, we should be growing. We should be maturing in Christ, and so we need to model this for our children. So, question right off the bat: how have you grown, or have you grown more Christ-like in the last year of school, last year of your life? Good question each one of us should ask ourselves. If you haven't already noticed, on the back of the bulletins this morning, there's photocopied section off the report cards, the behavioral growth part. Thanks, Nullingers, for doing that. So I thought we could look at that. Brian asked a question, what if Jesus gave you a report card? Well, it's obviously not him, but just a thought and a challenge to take a look at this and go through what we are wanting our children to do well at, and then asking a question, how are we doing? The chart there is by no means perfect. Some of the teachers have modified it before because they want to ask different questions. But still, it's what we use for the most part. It's what we look at. It's how we evaluate our children, so we could look at that. As we go through that, I'd like to, if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to kind of parallel the two, the report card, and then some of the verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll read those to start with, and then kind of go back and forth between the report card thing and the verses here. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So a familiar passage, I've actually preached on that before, but I'd like to look at it again, and like I said, look at the report card there, kind of evaluate. So thinking about that report card here, notice how Peter starts this off. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's talking to believers. He's talking to people that are believers in Jesus Christ, and he's their Savior. He doesn't start off by saying, obviously he wouldn't, but thinking about what I'm talking about this morning, he doesn't start off by saying, to those who have good grades, or to those who are so good that Jesus can love you. No, he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, it uses this word obtained, where it says those that have obtained a like faith, and it's talking about how we receive salvation, and uses that word in a verse prior to what I'm going to read here. But that's what caught my attention, is it used the same word. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. So, you notice I didn't photocopy the grades portion, because really, there's no way you can earn a passing grade, work hard enough to receive salvation. It's a gift. Bible makes that clear, that it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that it's the righteousness that we need, is the righteousness that comes by faith. So that's why we're not going to be looking at the actual grades, because the only way you can pass is to be in Christ, really, by faith. Galatians 3, chapter 21 says, if there had been given a law, if a law had been given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it goes on to say, you know, if there was a way that we could save ourselves by being good enough or working hard enough or getting good enough grades, kind of following the analogy I'm talking about, it would have been the law. But Galatians goes on to say, you can't. No one can do it. Only Jesus Christ could and did, and so it's our faith in his righteousness that makes us acceptable before God. But if you notice, this verse doesn't just end there. Like I say, it starts with precious faith, talks about the blessings of that and the promises that come with that. But it does say in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Lots of times you hear people get a little bit nervous if you say you're adding anything to what Jesus has done. You know, you shouldn't do that. And in a certain sense, it's true. You can't save yourself. You can't mix anything in there. It's his righteousness. But right here it does say, add to your faith. And so that's what I want to look at, and we're called to do that. So if you want to kind of start following along a little bit on that chart, if you have one. I'm not going to do these in the same order that they come on that, but so the first thing that, well, actually, looking in 1 Peter here, the first thing that it tells us to add to our faith is virtue. And that's an interesting word. Talked about it before. If you actually look it up in the dictionary, it says manliness or valor, but another definition is conformity to a standard of right. And the way I see it is, okay, you have this faith in Jesus Christ, add to your faith virtue, and that is do what you know you should do right now. It's doing what you already know. It's not like you're learning more things. It's like just do what you already know is right. If you're not willing to do what you already know you need to do, why add to it? Why add more knowledge to it? More knowledge isn't going to change your character on this. If you're not willing to do what's right now, more knowledge isn't going to change that. So the first thing is add to your faith virtue. Start doing what you know is right. And so a parallel a little bit on that is on the report cards is work habits. And so it says follows directions, works neatly, completes work on time, thorough and complete. So how, you know, we ask our children to excel in these areas. We want them to do that well. So are we setting a good example? A verse that stood out to me, Brian actually mentioned this at the PTA meeting. He's going to mention it again. It's kind of stood out to me a little different way recently. Is Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." And Colossians 3:23, similar to that, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And the thought that's kind of just been a little bit different to me, maybe you've already thought of it like this before. And I think the reason I was a little bit hung up on the wording of the one in Ecclesiastes, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," kind of always looked at it as a little bit like a futuristic thing. You know, if you find something that's worthy of tackling, do it with all your might. If you find, if you're called to, let's just say whatever, missions, do it with all your might. If you're called to, you get maybe a new job, do it with all your might. But, you know, it doesn't say, in Colossians, it doesn't say whatever you find it, like this futuristic thing. It just says, whatsoever thy hand doeth. Well, actually, it doesn't say this. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. And so, you know, that's right now. That's not tomorrow even. Like right now, I'm supposed to be preaching heartily. You're supposed to be listening heartily. After church, you'll be doing something. And that whatsoever you're doing is literally whatsoever you're doing. Tomorrow, whatsoever your job is, you're supposed to do it heartily. As a parent, as a housewife, it's not a futuristic thing. It's what you are right now and what you're doing. You'll never get another chance to do what you're doing right now again, and the same thing for tomorrow. So that just stood out to me, thinking about how am I doing the job and the things I'm called to do right now. So what are work habits like? One area that recently was reading about that I thought was interesting, thinking about good work habits, is reading this book about scientists, and in this book it was talking about how many of the famous and most scientists that have contributed the most to what we know today were either Christians or at least believed in God. But I thought it was interesting, kind of a little bit out of the blue in this book, it said this: "The biblical traits of humility, diligence, and honesty, among others, are necessary for good science." And then this is out of the book, but it's paraphrased. I kind of shrunk it. It says, "A lack of these have caused some scientists," talking about the ones that weren't Christians, "a lack of these qualities have caused some scientists to fudge their data, publish their work prematurely to gain recognition, to keep important information secret for their own personal gain." So really was a contrast there of a good scientist that people could come behind and build upon their findings. Another quote out of that book, direct quote, said, "Many," speaking of these Christian scientists, "many exhibited diligence in their work that had a lot more to do with learned biblical character traits than with innate genius." So just kind of struck me that, you know, their work habits, really, that it says it wasn't because they were geniuses so much, but their work habits, just consistently recording their data correctly, thoroughly, honestly, for the sake of knowledge, for the sake of growing, for the sake of passing it on to others. So work habits are very important. The next section on the report card there is, it's not the next section, but it's on there. It's personal development. That's what I want to look at. It has four sections: creative, positive attitude, flexible, neat and clean. And once again, these are qualities we want our children to have, so shouldn't we try and model them for our children? Creative, back in the second Peter here, it says, "Add to your faith knowledge." And as Christians, we should be interested in God's creativity and his design. We should want to learn more about him, add knowledge, gain knowledge about him, his creation, how he is dealing with people, how he has dealt with people. So the more we worship God, the more we admire his creativity, the more creative we will be. And we'll add knowledge, and we'll add the right kind of knowledge to our faith. We serve a God of purpose and love, and oops, I just skipped a line. That's not what I was supposed to say. But if we the more we worship God, I think we'll naturally be creative. The more we're self-centered, the more we just kind of are looking for things to entertain us, the next little thing to make us a little bit have a little bit of a good time. We're not going to be creative. It's going to dull our creativity. So we need to be seeking God, seeking more knowledge about Him and His creation and how things work. Goes along, I think, with a positive attitude. If you're not just kind of stuck in a rut, self-gratifying rut, you will, and the more you worship Him, the more you'll tend to have a more positive attitude. You know, if we believe that we serve a God of purpose and of love, and that we have what it says here, this precious faith, precious promises, we should overall have a more positive attitude. You know, our attitude can change for the good regardless of our circumstances. Sometimes you can't do anything about your circumstances, but the more you look at what you have in Christ, it will change your attitude and tend to have a more positive attitude. The other thing on the chart is flexible. Do things always have to be your own way? You know, in school, you see that children can make life fairly miserable if they're not flexible. You know, you see it kind of maybe at break time. You know, if you don't pick what I wanted, break's not going to be very fun, because you'll find out I'm not going to participate as well as I should, or you might accidentally get hit in the head with a ball or something like that. So children can be that way, unflexible. Things always have to be their way. But how are we as adults? Does our schedule have to just click right along? If something gets in the way a little bit, do we lose our patience? Or are we flexible? Do our children see us being willing to adjust our schedule a little bit for a good reason? In 2 Peter also it says, add to your faith temperance and patience. And I think that has a lot to do with being flexible. Temperance, interesting word. I heard that, it kind of looks like temperature. Temperance, you often think of, you know, not drinking alcohol is one definition you think of. But apparently it actually comes from the word, like, that has to do with temperature, and it's the melting point of metal. The melting point of metals and when they break down. And you kind of look at that as a character quality. At what point do you break down? At what point do you melt down when you're under stress or pressure? And do you have temperance? And it should be growing. And then patience. Patience isn't just waiting. It's how you wait, really. Jesse shared a story that when she was in Haiti, back when we were getting paperwork done for Jocelyn years ago, that they were sitting in an office just waiting and waiting and waiting to get this paperwork done. And she was getting really antsy, and just like she could see the people right in there, and just like, why don't they just sign the paper? All they have to do is take care of this. And the man that had taken her over there, who runs the children's home, he said, are you waiting well? And he meant, you know, are you really being patient? And that kind of stood out to me, is how do you wait? You have to wait regardless, but that doesn't mean you're being patient. Are we actually being patient? And are we modeling that? Neat and clean, there's another section on there. Basically, I just say you take care of yourself and your things so that you aren't a hindrance and a distraction to others. Sometimes I think people think it's selfish or a little bit vain to keep yourself or your things neat and clean. You know, it's too much focus on the physical there. But it can actually take more attention off yourself and enable you to focus on others. If it's just the way it should be, no distractions, just it is what it is, it actually takes more attention off of yourself. Interesting view on humility that I heard also is that this person said, when you meet somebody who's actually truly humble, you might not necessarily walk away thinking, oh, that's what humility is. It's not a person necessarily that, you know, downplays all their achievements, maybe a little bit shy, maybe a little reserved, whatever you might think of humility. But what will strike you is that they're not focused on themselves. They're focused more on you and other people. That's what makes them humble, is they're not so self-focused. I thought that had a little bit to do with that. Back in 2 Peter, it says, add to patience godliness. And it doesn't really fit with any of those categories the way I was looking at them, but I still wanted to talk about that. It's in 2 Peter. But godliness, I think it's what separates a believer from just a moral person. You know, a moral person that doesn't believe in Christ can be very virtuous. They can have knowledge. They can have patience, temperance. But their foundation is totally different. Their motives are different, and their goals are different. So godliness, I kind of look at godliness as, this isn't a textbook definition, but it's kind of like the Christian version of true virtue. It's doing what God asks you to do, and doing it, and being faithful in that, consistently trying to do what God has asked you to do, because He's God, because you believe in Him, and because you believe it pleases Him, you want to become more like Him. And you also believe that you'll receive a reward from Him before being faithful. So godliness is very important. Last section on the report card there to look at is social development. And it has four categories: courteous, happy and positive, respects authority, puts others first. And 2 Peter, back here again, it says add to your faith, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And I think that has a lot to do with social development, having relations with others. You know, if a student is rude, negative, doesn't respect his teacher, and is selfish, they get a little N in that box, which means needs improvement. But what about adults? A lot of adults are socially challenged, to say it how it is, really. They need improvement. I know there's areas I definitely need improvement in, and a lot of it sets you free. A lot of it we just kind of think just the way I am, but if you're willing to admit you need improvement, it sets you free from a lot of bondage. But it's important for us to be able to relate with others. One story I remember. I actually knew this guy, and always feel funny sharing stories like this. I always want to clarify, but not to the point where people just say, oh, it wasn't anybody I know, so I don't need to worry about it. But I do want to say that this wasn't anybody that I worked for here, or probably anybody you guys know. And I don't remember it and think negatively of the guy. It was a long time ago. But anyways, just to think that, you know, your children come home with a report card and you're going to see if there's an N on there. But as an adult, maybe as an employer, an employee, you don't necessarily get one of those. But the point that I'm trying to make is it doesn't go unnoticed. Your character is seen. And in this case, it was a guy that I worked for him. But this other guy had worked for him years before, and basically I was told that this guy, if you think this guy is a jerk now, you should have seen him about 5 years ago. But anyways, he was supposed to be kind of an elite Christian. If I would tell you, yeah, some details, he was supposedly a real godly person, according to his what am I trying to say? I just think of brand or something. Try not to give it away. But anyways, supposed to be a Christian man. Well, one day, this employer's wife was in line at the grocery store, and one of the employees' wives was in the grocery store line behind her, and they recognized each other. And the employee's wife said to the employer's wife, she said, you know, your husband's a real... And she used a profanity, and it just shocked the wife. And the thing that about the story is it was true. The guy at work was none of these things. He was rude, self-centered. He was He thought the world kind of revolved around him. He just was disrespectful. And his wife just heard it firsthand from one of the employees' wives there in the grocery line. So it will be found out. Thankfully, what I heard is that the wife went home and told the husband, and he kind of changed his ways a bit. But it's a true story. I kind of messed it up how I was saying it there. But hopefully you get the point. You will have a report card, whether it's a little white one or your wife coming home from the grocery store. Sometimes people are falsely accused, but in this case, it was accurate. And it was a real turnoff to me because I would see this guy during the week, and then I'd see him on, I saw him at a Sunday service, and it was just like night and day, and I was shocked. But so the thing on there, courteous and polite, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. One last thing I want to say about that is often you hear about people, when you hear about like these people that are good on Sunday, it's often that, you know, yeah, he goes to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week he cusses and drinks and does all this stuff. Well, I wanted to emphasize in this case, it wasn't like that. What it was he was good on Sunday, probably pretty good in a way the rest of the week. Didn't do a lot of things you could call outright sin as far as what we call ugly sin. But he was rude, disrespectful, arrogant. Those are the types of things we're talking about. I think sometimes we put people in, throw them in a category. But anyways, so being courteous and polite. In 1 Corinthians 13, like I said, talks about what Christian love is. If you have this love in you, you should be more courteous naturally. Goes along with the other box on the chart that you have there. Puts others first. Brotherly love. Another little real life story that, once again, I don't hold this over this person either, but and this is nobody I think any of you know, but it was at the hardware store years ago, and you know, there's quite a few people waiting in line, and you know, I never enjoy waiting in line, but it's just kind of like what you have to do, you know, wait your turn. Well, this guy comes blasting through the doors with something, I don't remember what, but he just walks through there and he's like, put this on my account, I got to get going. Just walks out the door. And, you know, it was just rude. What I was basically hearing is, I'm more important than everybody else in here. I'm going to go out the door now. That's what it looked like to me. Just rude. Wasn't very loving. And I say I don't hold it against the person, but I do remember it. And hopefully they aren't like that all the time. But the other box on the chart there, happy and positive. Earlier talked about, you know, in personal development, it says, I don't have it in front of me, but like happy, but it's specifically for personal development. But this is social happiness, being able to enjoy other people's company. You know, some people can be real happy as long as they're by themselves, but get them in a crowd, they can't socialize and be happy for others. This is important to be encouraging to others, to be encouraging to a group rather than discouraging, being uplifting rather than draining those around you. And this can only happen, really, I believe, when you're full yourself, and that coming from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And I like that verse. You know, we can comfort others because we've been comforted by God. And, you know, sometimes we're the one that needs that extra boost of comfort from somebody else, but it all comes from God. The last category on that chart there is respects authority. And if you look at how Peter starts off this letter here, in 2 Peter, it says, Simon Peter, a servant. And I don't think that that's an accident that he wrote servant before he wrote apostle. Peter recognizes authority, respected authority, and he recognized that all authority starts with God. And Dayton just gave a message on submission, and that included a lot on respecting authority, so I don't feel like I need to spend much time on that, but just how important it is. And then But also, as far as respecting authority, what kind of example are we setting for our children in this area also? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. So, how's your report card looking this time? You know, one thing to keep in mind when I evaluate, or when you evaluate yourself, one thing to keep in mind is, you know, when I fill these out as a teacher, you know, if somebody had a bad day, maybe one day they blew up and were disrespectful to authority, whatever, doesn't mean you automatically put an N in there. This is over a period of time. So keep that in mind as you look at yourself. You know, if you had a bad day, you know, you're still responsible for those actions. They don't go away. They need to be made right. But it's not your overall character. And I think that's how we need to look at others, too. Like these guys I mentioned at the hardware store. I mean, that shouldn't be his label for the rest of his life because he did that once. Maybe he got in the car and felt bad, you know. But we need to be honest. We need to look at ourselves and see areas that we consistently struggle in and not be afraid to say, you know what, that's an N right there. I need improvement in that, and ask God for help. Maybe ask others for advice. Also, as a teacher, you know, I can only evaluate what I see. God sees the heart. Someone can, for example, someone can appear to respect authority because they do what you tell them to do. They don't ever argue back, but really they're full of bitterness and rebellion. You can't see that. Eventually it comes out, I think, but you know, God's after the heart, and we can pull the wool over men's eyes for quite a while, really. But a verse to keep in mind is that Colossians 3:24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." So he's the ultimate judge. He's the one that's really going to look in there and see what's really going on. So there's no sense in trying to hide any of that. Also, when it comes to things like works neatly or neat and clean, like we went over, you know, these are just, they're tools. They're means to help us do our work. You know, if you had a student that kept his desk just perfectly clean, sharp pencil, everything's good to go, but they never did any work, it wouldn't really, I mean, what would the point be? You might get a G on that, but probably an N on everything else and some low scores. So the point isn't to just keep things neat and clean and shine like that. It's to use that as a tool to accomplish the work. Also imagine maybe an orphanage in a poor country. You know, it's perfect order, clean, best one in the country, but it's not really helping children. What would the point be there? So it needs to end up resulting in work that brings glory to God and helps others. It's not just about looking good. Matthew 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we're not even really supposed to get the attention anyways if you're, say, neat and clean. It's supposed to just point to the Father, and people give him the glory. So, in closing here, I'd like to read a few more verses in 2 Peter. I'd like to read verses 8 through 11 and then make a few comments and we'll be closed. So, back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, which Peter gives just, I mean, can't really, don't feel like I need to clarify the importance of this and the realness of adding to our faith. And this is what he says. "For if these things be in you and abound," I thought of that when Marcus was talking about closer to thee, I believe it was closer to thee, were the words, abound. It's not stationary, it's a growing thing. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So, some strong words there, strong warnings. It's not just a suggestion. You know, you should add to your faith. He's saying, if you don't do these things, you're blind. If you don't have them, you're blind. If you're not abounding in them, you'll be unfruitful, barren, and it also says that it implies that you'll fall if you're not growing. But on the opposite hand, if you do these things, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, thinking back to the very beginning, you know, that we can't, through our works, initially earn this. You know, on the one hand, we should be very thankful. After going through this little report card here, and that's there's a whole lot more you could look at. Would you want to take that report card and stand before the Creator of the universe and say, I think I'm good enough to get in? Could you look at this? I sure wouldn't. I would cringe at the thought. You know, the Creator of the universe, he's, you know, we don't even have a section on a report card for P, which stands for perfect. Now, could you put perfect in all those boxes so that you could be with in the perfection of God? So on the one hand, we should be very thankful, because even though we don't have perfection all over that in and of ourselves, he still lets us in. He still lets us be part of his family. So out of our thankfulness and out of our gratitude and out of a holy fear, a recognition of where we are apart from him, that should motivate us. So on the one hand, we should be very thankful, but on the other hand, we should be very serious, you know, very diligent. Peter uses that word, diligence. So we need to grow. We need to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. And putting that kind of back in the context of setting an example for our children, the seriousness of life, thankfulness of what we have, and all the character traits that can bring, and then the seriousness of making our calling and election sure as examples. I think I'll close with that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your patience with us, and just pray you'd help us to live faithfully for you and to be a light in such a way that people are pointed to you, and not to our good works, but to your gospel. And I just want to ask your blessing upon the rest of this day. Thank you for each one that's here, and just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Open it up here if anybody has a testimony or something.